Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Hey, it's C-Sparky, 5 for 55 past the hour. Time for another Milwaukee Sports Timeout here on 1250 AM. The Fan, joining us now from Cheesehead TV, Packer Report, and the Pack a Day podcast. He's our film analyst, Dusty Evely. Follow him on Twitter at Dusty Evely. Aaron Rodgers comes out with some comments on the Pat McAfee show on YouTube TV and says that pretty much these guys that are making mental errors, if they can't figure it out, they can go to the bench and they should play some guys and give some guys an opportunity that haven't had one to this point to see if they can play without making those same type of mental errors. So I go to you, Dusty, our film guy, and ask you, have you seen these type of mental errors that are pretty obvious when you're watching the All-22 film?
Oh, absolutely, dude. Absolutely. I think he said double digits per game, and then they had been like getting 20%. Like 5-7 last year or something.
Yeah, 20%.
Yeah, yep. No, I mean, honest to God, that feels right. I mean, this past week, I think offensive line was better, so some of the mental mistakes prior were kind of, the offensive line, I think, kind of took a big brunt of that. But the receiving group, I mean, it's tough to tell everything. Obviously, we're not in the locker room. We're not there. We don't know the play calls, all that stuff. But, I mean, I've been doing this long enough to know how a lot of this stuff is supposed to look, even if I don't know the exact core concept of a lot of it. Even some of it is like, I don't know who's running the wrong route here, but someone's running the wrong route here. That 3rd-and-2 to Dobbs, the low throw to Dobbs, Rodgers needs to put that ball on him. Him and Watkins like almost run into each other. I think that's supposed to be like a sit route for Dobbs, and then Watkins is supposed to be like a clear out. But then Watkins is trying to like go under and ends up Dobbs gets picked. And like, again, I don't know. Maybe Dobbs is supposed to take the flat. I'm not entirely sure. That's one example. But multiple times a game, it's very clear. Someone, again, I don't always know who, got a couple ideas. Someone's running the wrong route. There are things going wrong. There's the big deep pass to Dobbs that fell like 10 yards incomplete or something. It sounds like maybe that was more a, not necessarily miscommunication. I think Dobbs ran technically the correct route, but you're supposed to read that. And he didn't see the corner underneath, so he didn't kind of cut that back. That to me is like not so much a mental mistake, so much as just a young guy not quite seeing the game. But there are certainly a lot of mental mistakes, and it is clear. I'm not putting a number on it. 20% feels about right. It's a mess, and it's been a mess all season in terms of route depth and route distribution and guys running into each other, all kinds of stuff. It's a disaster from the wide receiver room, if nothing else.
Okay, so when we came into the season, we all knew this wide receiver room was going to be different. We all knew this wide receiver room was going to be inexperienced, that you're going to have some rookies that may get forced into playing because the Packers did nothing outside of Sammy Watkins, who has never stayed healthy in his life outside of his first year in the NFL. Outside of him, you added nothing to this wide receiver room as far as veterans go. So what's now the answer to all of this? You know, Rodgers talks about, well, maybe these guys should pretty much be, you know, looking at their playbooks or whatever the case may be more, you know, leading up to the game during the course of the week and studying more than they are. But there's a part of me that says, what has Aaron Rodgers done above and beyond to help make this, you know, as easy of a transition as possible for these wide receivers, or to help them as much as he can? Because, again, you go back to the offseason, he wasn't around for the offseason. And some of these other guys, like Patrick Mahomes, is running his own wide receiver camps and so forth. And you have other examples of that around the National Football League, of guys that work with their wide receivers in the offseason. I don't know how much that would have helped this scenario or not, but I just kind of feel like if you're the quarterback and you're the Hall of Famer, even though it may seem beneath you to have to work with wide receivers and spend your spare time putting all this extra work in, I think that might help them more than anything at this point.
Yeah, I think that's true to an extent. I mean, especially, like you said, when you're working in those new guys, and some of this is, I don't know exactly, you know, where the blame falls on this. I mean, we've seen Alan Lazard running wrong routes this year. We've seen Sammy Watkins, who's a new guy in the room, but is a vet, running the wrong routes this year. Like, it's not just the young guys. It's not just Dobbs. It's not just Amari when he's out there. Like, it's not who you would necessarily think. Like, there's guys, and that's, yeah, Rodgers being around likely helps it, but I don't know that Rodgers being there in the offseason helps Lazard. Not that Lazard is like a huge problem by any stretch of imagination, but the fact that he is also running the wrong routes and some of this stuff, it's not just, this is not one or two guys, this is the entire thing. And so, you know, some of that, yeah, sure, we put some of it on him for not being in the offseason and helping to build that chemistry and all that stuff. I think, you know, some of that, the bulk of it, honestly, I put on coaching, not an indictment on the floor by any stretch of the imagination. But you've got some of that brain drain stuff, right? Like that Peter principle, I guess. If a guy's good at one job, you bring him to a next job, doesn't mean he's going to be good at the higher job. And they had to promote Stanovich, and he did a great job with the offensive line, but you're bumping everyone up. Hackett did a great job. He's not doing good in Denver. But he did a job at offensive coordinator and some of those details. I just wonder how much of this, like you said, some of it, likely Rodgers not being around in the offseason, building that chemistry. But I wonder how much some of this is just Hackett's attention to details in the offensive coordinator position, having done that job for a long time, and now you've got Stanovich in there kind of taking over that job, and maybe some of the details, you know, he's kind of working his way into it. It's one of those, I wish it was one problem. I wish it was Rodgers was playing poorly or something, because that's way easier to place blame and then fix. It just seems like it's a comedy of errors. It's a kind of errors and just weird little missteps. It seems like up and down the entire offense at this
point. It's interesting. You bring up Stanovich, and I would have went to Getsy, because Getsy used to coach wide receivers, and then, of course, was a quarterback's coach as well, and maybe a combination of the two, not being in those positions, and instead now you've got a couple of former offensive linemen, or a couple of offensive line coaches now helping to do this game planning. But at the end of the day, you know, it still goes back to Matt LaFleur. He's the head coach. He was the one that decided mm-hmm. to make the promotions that he did versus going outside and hiring somebody. It's still, at the end of the day, his game plan, along with Aaron Rodgers, that is getting this done. I've brought this up in the past, and I'm going to see what you think about it. And again, I know it's middle of the season, and what I'm talking about here sure. is more wholesale. But why not just say to hell with it? We can't get these wide receivers figured out. We're going to run double tight ends. We got a good run blocker, Mercedes Lewis. We'll go with Robert Tonyan or DeGuara, whatever the case may be. We're going to go double tight ends. Dylan and Jones are going to be in the backfield together, and that's how we're going to play. We're going to ground and pound it. We're going to have play action with our tight ends down the middle of the field. We're running those routes. We're going to go to either running back as well, passing to them out of the backfield, and try and do it that way versus saying, you know what, we have the same talent. We're going to spread out four guys and have Rodgers in the shotgun and expect it to work like it always has, when in reality, it's just not going to happen.
Hey, buddy, now you're speaking my language. I mean, I've been pounding the table, and I know, you know, not in practice, all that, blah, 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 blah. All I've seen from, I was excited about the DeGuara pick, and it's taken him a couple years. He lost the first year to injury. Every time he's out there, he's doing something. Now, if he's not touching the ball, if he gets the one or two times a game, he gets to touch the ball in the 15% of offensive snaps he plays, he does something with it. He'll turn, he'll explode up the field, he'll make something out of nothing. When he's not doing that, when they're asking him to run block, he's a dog in the run block game. He'll miss the occasional block, but man, he's giving 100% effort. And when he engages with a guy, he's driving that guy 10 yards down the field. Like, when he's out there, he's working. He's undersized for a tight end. They got him for the kind of hybrid halfback role that I feel like the thing with DeGuara is that they kind of got away from the version of the offense that was going to use him, and they're like, we don't know what to do with this guy. But yeah, I'm all in favor of, listen, put Mercedes Lewis out there as an extra, put him basically a sixth offensive lineman, which is what he is anyway at this point.
What
put
about
Tonyan out there. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish up.
I was going to say, then throw DeGuara out there, get Tonyan, put Aaron Jones, and then get, just for spacing issues, you need one wide receiver, some fast guy. You know, obviously you can go if you want to go 23 personnel or 14 personnel and just go all tight ends and running back, that's fine. If Watson is healthy, and I think he's practiced a little bit today, or just any kind of speed guy, Dobbs, just someone to kind of create some space underneath and just say, I mean, you're running the go route, you're running the post route, and it's an alert, and maybe we'll throw it to you if you're open, and if not, you're creating room underneath. I'd be all in favor of a heavier approach. Like you said, they're doing, I want to say they're doing the same thing, because I don't think they are. I think they're trying to tweak the system in a way that makes sense for them. And you're seeing some of those changes. I think that's part of the issue. But I'm all in favor. Basically, at this point, anything that gets DeGuara on the field is something that I'm going to go, yes, yeah, let's do more of that thing.
What about this whole buy or sell approach now at the trade deadline? A lot of people out there saying they should go buy a wide receiver. Where are you at on that?
It depends on the wide receiver. I saw some stuff today on A.J. Green, and I loved A.J. Green. I'm an SEC country, big A.J. Green guy. At this stage in the career, probably not. He's probably not giving you what you want. It's tough because they do not have a good record, but the entire NFC kind of sucks. Like, it's not like they're out of it. Now, if they lose to the Bills and then they lose, you know, they basically need to play much better football than they've played in order to not just make the playoffs, but even kind of threaten the playoffs. But they kind of went not all in for the season. You know, obviously the draft does not reflect that, or it kind of does because they drafted a 29-year-old defensive lineman. But they paid Aaron Rodgers, right? Yep. They know this is the last go. Maybe this is the last year. Whether or not they believe it, I think they kind of need to go for it. I'm good either way. I don't know what kind of pieces. I mean, Sammy Watkins, like, they're not going to trade Sammy Watkins. Lazard, this is the last year of his deal. No one's banging on the door for him, especially with his arm in the sling. Maybe Aaron Jones has got a huge cap hit next year. Like, they could sell if they wanted to. I don't get the feeling they're going to. And so right now, I'm embracing chaos, man. Like, just bring a wide receiver in. Bring in someone that I can get excited about. Bring in some speed, because without Dobbs, they don't really have anything. And I'm good to go. And if they lose the rest of their games, I don't care. Just put a little more entertaining product out there. So I'm currently in favor of get a wide receiver, but I've been on team get a wide receiver for like my 42 years on this earth. So that's kind of where I live at this point.
Yeah, Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers have been on that same team for quite a while. How much of a chance do you really give them of Buffalo? I think the point spread was 12 at last check.
Yeah, not great, man. So I did a Pack of Day podcast and that came out today. I predicted Bills win 55-10.
Oh my God. 55-10.
Listen, I don't feel great about it. I could see two different paths. I could see a path where they put everything together and they win 27-24. But with all the issues, I don't think that's fixable in a week. We've not seen any evidence that they're gonna fix that in a week. So I could see a scenario where they're down, and I don't know, you know, 28-10, something like that at the half. Like, well, they're still within striking distance. And then Buffalo, who I think has an average margin of victory of 35 at home this year, just does not let their foot off the gas. It's prime time. Let's just show everyone what we got. So again, I don't feel great about that. But that was the score that stuck in my head when I woke up yesterday morning. And I was like, I could see how that might happen. So confidence level low. I hope they surprise me, but my confidence level for that game, probably with the rest of people who have watched the past seven games of the Packers, not very high for this weekend.
People will never finish watching that game if it's 55-10. Dusty Evely, follow him on Twitter at Dusty Evely. He writes for Cheesehead TV, Packer Report, and of course the Pack a Day podcast, where apparently he made the same crazy prediction there as well, 55-10. Oh my goodness, I've never heard anybody make a Packer blowout prediction like that in my entire career in radio. That is amazing. I'll never forget it as long as I live. Dusty Evely, thank you so much. Follow him on Twitter at Dusty Evely. Have a good one, buddy.
Thanks, Nathan.
You betcha. There he is, Dusty Evely. Here on 1250 AM, The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.